half of an old cabin of his where he lived and was brought up since he was 9 years old. And it's just that he wanted to live there summers. There's nothing about business or anything about it. And Rosemary Hafner is still working on that. Is there anything else you want to say, Joe? I guess that's about it.
Okay, thanks very much.
My name is Ted Charles. I currently live in Tok, and I am enrolled into both Doyon and Dothnak Native Corporation. I am presently employed by the Tananaw Chiefs Conference, but also serve as the president of Dothnak Native Corporation. And I have served the Dothnak Native Corporation since 1974, both as an officer and a board member of the corporation. A little background to the corporation is that we only have 45 shareholders.
This is going to be causing a lot of trouble if the man open up his eye and look at it. We do not want trouble with nobody. We want to be friendly and treat one another right. But today, a lot of white people goes to our timeship land, landing with a plane. You see their track, and you don't know where they came from. Where's all those Doyon people? They're supposed to watch for that. And all this thing, it doesn't work right. And when we were done in Anchorage meeting, they said from the time that the native accept the 40 million acre land and $96 million, 20 years up, then we're going to pay tax. And right now, someone say 12 years and 8 more years. 8 more years is just for the big business like this, it's not very much time. So what I would like to say, and all the council, I want you to listen to me. What I would like to say, I want to extend it. I'd rather see they extend it, the land claim. 20 years turn is too cheap to settle land down. And you have to stand up for your own good. And all the land in a timeship, like we have a village for maybe more than 1,000 years up the Mansfield Lake. We have a fish camp there. And the state law, they bring the state law up to lawn with a timeship, 6 mile by 6 mile square land. It's going to be timeship. The land is, we're going to own the land. But water, we can't own it. This is a foolishness. I mean it. This is a foolishness. We have a 3-foot deep land. We got right to use that land. We have a lake like this in a level with the ground. 3-foot deep water, it had right to go with the land. And also a creek. And some dummy guy gonna say the water floating down. But the water still there all the time, every day. And we use and drink in that water. We shooting ducks, bibi, muskrat, fishing. After 3 feet deep water, from there down, state can have all the water they want. That's the way it should be in our land.
Where ground he want to take? Every village, some people die off. You think he can throw it away. He never throw it away. We got few more eaten rest, then we can send it. We can send some eaten back there, our old village. But you first take everything away. I don't think that work. But this trail cross too. You should give a turtle. You gave a little turtle for trail cross ground. Steal me not right there. What? That all together, this landscape belongs to eat and animal, fur, trap line. All white people take Eden trap line. Eden get no place to trouble. He brings no gold, he brings everything. So people, all Eden boys got no money to buy no gold, he can't go trouble. He can't do nothing. It's no all together, it's all white man. It's still work. Because Eden people are born in Alaska, he live in Alaska for a good many years. I know Eden people, George United States citizen for 1907. They chose for citizen of the United States. And since that time, I thought white people is be friendly to the Alaska Indians. So we never kick, we never say nothing. You never hear no Indian kick out of his country. No place. All over the world. If we go states, we take the ground, make it this Alaska. You think you fellas you give us chance? I don't think you give us chance. All I want to say is this, because I'm not going to, I can understand eating way for the good. If you eat it, we can talk one another. I'm not sure you fit that. But now I can talk English. It's put a hard for me to talk. I like to see you people give back what little don't try to take everything away out of the Indian people. He gotta have it. He gotta have his old country little something.
Come up with ways to make sure that they get their children established. And one form is through retirement benefits, education funds that they set aside for their children. This is just an example I'm using. What I'm going to say is there's many ways ANCSA land selected is subject to being lost, and he could be lost in many ways, such as adverse possession, eminent domain, through the sales. The board of directors of a corporation can sell lands right now, although there's a 20-year ban since December 18th of 1971. Tanah Cross Inc. Board of Directors can sell land right under off your feet. Although I don't foresee this as a possibility in the next few years, it can happen and it will happen. See, hang on a minute. I gotta get my other notes. Anyways, I just lost my notes. I don't know what the heck I did with it. But what I was going to say is capitalism is an economy. Like socialism and communism, it's an economy, a form of a country using its resources to establish a very strong nation. The native peoples of Alaska didn't know a darn thing about capitalism nor anything about the monetary system that was not a part of the native culture or life. And when December of 71's ANCSTUP was passed, the native people were thrown into a tailspin almost to.
They die. They're stockholders. I don't see why their stockholders should go back into Do Young or into Tananah Chief. I believe it should go back into their family. There's another thing we should think about. Lately, a lot of young people have been dying, and their stockholders have go back into the village or some place to wherever they got their stockholder from. We as Native people, we should have understanding about our land and what's going on and who's our leader. We trust our land into their hand, and we expect a fair trade back to us. We expect them to take care of our land and tell us what's going on. Like us, we're not very educated people. We like to know what become of our land, what's going to happen. What about the tax? They said, you're going to be taxed. And some people said, we can just pull the land under you if we want it. Why don't they sit down and explain those things to us in a proper way? I didn't know we belonged to that kind of corporation if they want to just pull land under us. I believe when we selected these land, it is for our use. I didn't think they would come around and want to take back our land from us. I believe our leaders should think more of their village or whoever's the director of our village in our area should come around and explain these things to us. I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't understand these things. And nowadays, you can't get people to go out to get educated, but go to school for these things. Another thing I'd like to know,
it's over with. Seems to me that state will have all the land back anyway, and that we won't have, you know. It might never happen, but that's the way I look at it now, because our village corporation ain't making any money either. because their hand is tight. And what I can understand is that under this land claim, I was in Anchorage when the land claim was settled, when the bill was signed by the president. And I thought at that time that it was over, you know, that there were no more fights, that the land claim was over. But it seemed like now, every time we turn around, there's amendment on this, amendment on that, and we're still fighting with state and federal. And corporations, you know, spend a lot of money on legal fees and stuff like that, see where they're at all the time. So, I mean, you know, like I say that we have to spend money for legal fees, ordinary, to look into different amendments. So I don't know where things would end up, but like I say that, I don't see right today that, you know, that I know I'm benefiting from it. I know I have mass land that I'm a stockholder in, we have original corporation. And they have, you know, stock, but it's in bad financial shape. So if that thing ever went bankrupt, I mean, where would all the stockholders end up at? So when I think we should have looked into this a lot more when the land claim was the way the land claim was settled. I brought it out. I helped work on that land claim when we first started that land claim. And after, I changed my view on it, but then it was too far. The land claim was too far rolling then. And I think what would have been better off for a lot of our people now, what I've seen of it, is that if they would have got even 300 acres as an individual, and then money that the corporation got would be, you know, put out to individual stockholders. And then instead of having mass land claim, I told them that we should go for royalty. And that way, I think we would have been a lot better off than what we got into now. Because right after that, they hit that oil field up there. And we would be getting, as an individual, we would be getting money off that.
Price of oil went up too.
Yeah, so it could have been done different than I think what's been done. But it's just it's already been done, and that's what we have to live with and try to do best as we know how, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Thank you.
Are there any other participants? Before we wrap up for the 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock break, let me again repeat that. Don't be afraid to speak your piece. This is your forum. You have to make your feelings known. Like I say, even if it may sound awkward, don't feel left out of place. And the Alaskan Claim Settlements Act affects every native in the state of Alaska. If you don't say what you feel, you'll never be considered. Your feelings and your thoughts will never be considered. You have to become active in the democratic process just to have your thoughts known. The longer you suppress your feelings and stuff, nothing will be done. Your concerns will never be addressed. You have to come up and speak your piece, even if it's hard, even if you're nervous. During the Panama Chiefs Conference, there were young, very young Native leaders going up there in front of 500 people. You can see they're shaking like a leaf, but they spoke. But, you know, they go through an initial shock, and then after that, they feel calm. So, during the reconvening at 7 o'clock, if you have any...
And then give it to the Native people. I don't think the Native people got fair shake out of this land claim in count of it, because you have a state that wants easement, or federal government, like BLM, their Department of Interior. They'll come back and say they want easement here, and then the corporation have to spend money on legal fees, trying to close up different loopholes. And I think federal government should take second look at that land claim. And I think with federal expense, I think they should close up them loopholes and then turn this land over to the Indian people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Charles.
I failed to mention suggest a change in the ANCSA, Last Name Family Settlement Act law. It's section 14F. And I won't read the whole network. I'll just read the last sentence. Last sentence goes like that: the right to explore, develop, or remove minerals from the subsurface estate in the lands within the boundaries of any Native village shall be subject to the consent of the village corporation. I think they should be more specific as to what is the boundaries of the Native village. That lends the possibility of a legal description. In Native village, I mean, the boundaries of the Native village, what is the boundaries of Panama Cross? We, the shareholders and the people of Panama Cross, would say are selected lands, but it doesn't say the selected Native lands of the Native village. It's not specific enough. It lends an opportunity for litigation. If it's, I mean, I'm not saying that it will happen, but knowing, I mean, having a little knowledge of businesses, it could come to a head in the courts. Let's say our regional corporation wants to develop copper in the 60 mile Butte area, you know, right in within our boundaries. And we say we didn't consult the Panama Cross Board of Directors for access rights. Then, you know, I'm not saying it happened, I'm just saying it as an example. And they challenge. Well, we have, if we say according to
your constitutional right, you're the shareholders and you have vested interest in the operations of your corporation. This morning I mentioned that the village and regional corporations can sell land holdings they have. You know, for instance, Tanacross can sell lands the lands out here, lots, to anybody they want for a specified price. That's, I mean, you know, the act says 20 years ban, moratorium. But in it, it didn't say that we can subdivide our lands and sell it for profit. It didn't say that. So we can. And this is these are the issues that came out of that 1991 conference that we were participating in Fairbanks in December of last December. There's many ways that the shareholders can lose your vested interest in the land holdings. The second one is bad debts. Let's say Tanah Cross Inc. went into business, and then that business didn't financially materialize. It didn't make profit, and we went broke. How are we going to pay our debts? So the banks, the loan institutions would take this to court, and the judge would say, okay, if you don't have any money to pay your debts, I'll set aside 10,000 acres as payment for the bad debts. And the third way of losing your land is through taxation. Not only one form of government can tax your lands. If Tok incorporates into a city, and we have selected lands up there, they can tax that. A borough being the borough being centralized in Tok can tax our lands. Then the state can do that, and the federal government can do that. We're paying taxes to everybody. And taxes are paid on the basis of mills. I don't even know what that is. 3 mills per 1% or something like that. And then you add that up to 4 different governmental organizations, and you're being taxed to death even before you start. And the fourth way of losing your lands is through adverse possession. That's what they call squatter's rights. That means when Duke Bob sits down here on Tanah Cross Inc. Lands, and he lives there and builds a house, and he lives there for 7 years. We knew he was there, but we didn't kick him off. And then we tell him on the 9th year that you're sitting on our land, we have to get you off, we're going to develop it. He can take it to court, and the court will say that this land belongs to him because he showed actual use and occupancy. And he can prove how much land that around his house that he used. It could turn out to be 10 acres. The other way of losing your lands is through condemnation and eminent domain. Those two go hand in hand. Condemnation is, let's say the Alaska Department of Transportation wants to build a road through your native selected lands, and they'll first offer you fair market value for the lands they're going to traverse. If you refuse that, the DOT can go to the state government or the courts and ask for condemnation.